The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Thanks for downloading the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Two stories for you today, both about radio stations. One that's been going a little while and is, I think, flourishing perhaps more than people thought it would. That's Jazz FM. We'll be there in a minute. But first, I'm in Pimlico. I've got my passport to Pimlico. I'm here with Share Radio. Now, it's always great, isn't it, when new radio stations are announced and are coming on air. And look, fantastic new studios. Gavin Oldham's with me. He's the founder and the managing director of Share Radio. Gavin, what's Share Radio for and who are you hoping is going to listen to it?
Well, Share Radio is very much about helping people throughout all walks of life with handling money and investments as well. Really, it's very much walking alongside people. It's not talking down to people. Like, the city has a bit of a reputation for being rather patronising in its approach. And, you know, the broadcasting which comes out from the city tends to be very specialist and very much geared towards financial professionals. Share Radio is completely different from that because really we want to understand what the issues are that people deal with every day and try and help them with those problems.
You're going to be online for anybody, but you're going to be on DAB in London. Why Share Radio and not Money Radio or Business Radio?
Well, I am an entrepreneur going back some years now set up the Share Centre, retail stockbroker, about 24 years ago. I also set up the charity, the Share Foundation, which runs Junior ISAs for Looked After Children on behalf of the Department for Education. And the word share to me is a really important word. It's a word which not only does cover some of the aspects that you find within the markets, and shares are things I've handled and dealt with for many, many years, but it also has something about the generosity of life. That if you share information, if you share resources, then actually really good things can happen. And so that's what it's really what Share Radio is all about. It's about sharing knowledge and empowering people, democratizing expertise, if you like. So actually what we're doing is taking some of that knowledge, which is, at the moment, somewhat trapped within the city and within the financial world, and making it available to everyone.
On your website, you've got a little downloadable trail. It's about 4 minutes. Let's just play a little piece of it now.
Introducing Share Radio, a brand new radio station designed to help you through the money maze. Let's meet the presenters and find out what can be expected from their shows.
Hi, you're listening to Share Radio, and I'm Sandra Kilhoff, the host of Morning Money. Every morning from 6 to 9 a.m., I'll take an in-depth look at the global markets and business and get real-time reactions from the London Stock Exchange, getting you ready for the day ahead. Across the morning, we'll give you insights into key topics such as regulation, macroeconomics, and wealth. And of course, we won't miss out if Westminster makes changes to the tax tiers when our political commentators take you through major economic decisions and discussions. With traffic, weather, and headlines throughout, you won't miss a beat when tuning in to Morning Money.
Hi, I'm Georgie Frost. Join me every weekday from 9 until 1 for Consuming Issues, dedicated to making that pound in your pocket go a little bit further. Whether you're buying a new home, selling your old one, wondering what to do with your pension, thinking of starting a new family, perhaps you're saving for a holiday, or simply wanting a night out on the cheap, we bring the experts to you. We'll scour London for the best deals, campaign on your behalf, and share hints and tips. Consuming Issues covers it all. This is your show, answering your questions and making finance a little bit more fun.
Hello, I'm Ed Mitchell. Every weekday afternoon here on Share Radio, I'll be...
Where did you get all your broadcasters from, Gavin?
Well, it's been a very interesting journey for me, because you'll understand that 9 months ago, I had very little experience within the media except as a guest. I've been interviewed on many, many programmes within the BBC in particular, but other stations as well. But the whole thing about setting up a media organisation is completely different. And so I've actually had a lot of guidance as I've gone through. very grateful to Adam Shaw, who has been really very, very helpful to me to help with constructing ideas about content and actually finding out where to go and look for people. And
we have you raided other people's staff? You know, have you gone to other radio stations with a fat checkbook?
Well, it has not been a matter of going to other people's staff directly, but we have gone through a website called Gulkana, that really elicited a huge amount of interest. We put an advert in there early August, and we ended up with well over 500 indications of interest from that, and we did a huge number of interviews following it. So really the core part of a team came from there. But also, it's fair to say, by word of mouth, many of the people that are working here in Chair Radio, people that I've known for quite some time, Simon Rose, for example, used to do the Rose Report on the City programme. I've known Simon for many, many years, and he's going to be doing the Market Wrap and Evening Show every weekday on Chair Radio.
And you've got Ed Mitchell.
Yes, we have Ed Mitchell. Ed was introduced to me by Simon.
Big story in itself, after terrible collapse in his career and, you know, from the professional radio to the park bench and back now.
Well, Ed really has a wonderful reputation as a business broadcaster before the problems that he experienced. He is now, you know, completely past those and really looking forward to looking after our afternoon show. And I'm really looking forward to that. The afternoon show actually is going to be quite a special mix of investment matters together with social action as well. So we'll cover a charity spotlight. We'll look at community action, which is going on as well. We'll look at ethical investment and things like that. So it won't just be about, you know, the sort of hard-nosed part of finance or the city. It'll be actually what people are doing which can do good for others as well.
Now, I've been to a lot of new radio stations as they've launched, and I have to say, of recent years, they're not as well appointed as where we are now. I'm really impressed by these studios, by so many people beavering away out there. You know, there are huge radio stations across the UK that don't have anywhere near this number of staff. How many have you got, did you say? Over 20?
Yes, we do have over 20, but this is speech radio.
Need a lot of staff,
you know,
don't you?
There's a lot of hours to fill, as they say in speech radio.
And that does raise the question, Gavin, where's the money coming from?
The money, the whole of Show Radio is being financed by me. I've got no other external shareholders at all in it. And I think that's right when you're doing an entrepreneurial exercise like this. I'm in the fortunate position of having run a successful business now for 24 years. So I have a bit of a rock behind me. I am able to do this kind of thing. I have to say that it was a huge help to me to be familiar with Premier Radio.
Of course, that's the Christian station in London.
That's right, but they're on the floor directly below us in Chapter Street. And as a member of General Synod of the Church of England, I've known Peter Kerridge there for many, many years. And Peter has been a huge help as we've gone sort of through this year. Undoubtedly, having a bit of a radio hub within this building in 22 Chapter Street has given us a bit of a leg up. And we're very fortunate to find space within the building.
But you know a thing or two about business. Are you going to be able to make any money from this?
I very much hope so, yes. I mean, it's intended to be a commercial station and to earn its daily bread.
And have you looked at the economics of other radio stations and wondered why they can't make money? Because, you know, people are not wandering around commercial radio in the UK saying, wow, license to print money, like they did once upon a time.
Well, I understand in some stations, you know, that there are some difficulties there. I'm not unaware of that. But, you know, we are dealing with helping people with their money, with their finances day by day. We're in a situation where a couple of very important things have happened in the financial world. The first thing is that in the area of funds in particular, the regulator, the Financial Conduct Authority, has said that it is not acceptable to have fund houses paying money to distributors in order to give advice. And so they've cancelled what used to be called trail commission. So a lot of the fund houses have quite large budgets to be able to support their marketing, but they no longer have the distribution network to actually pay in that way. Now, we obviously hope that there will be some interest from fund houses and other city financial organisations to be able to sponsor programmes and take an interest, not, you know, to say how wonderful their funds are, because we can't do that kind of thing.
No, but it does raise, I think, Gavin, that question of can you be impartial and can your presenters give independent advice if some of your advertisers or sponsors are actually the financial houses who stand to gain from you recommending them?
Well, I think we can indeed, because in fact, when a fund house is actually trying to explain itself, it will talk more about its expertise and its knowledge of its economics than it will about its specific funds. I mean, nobody likes to be sold at all the time anyway, and they know that as well as anybody else. But I think there will be a considerable amount of interest coming in from those houses, from banks and other, you know, in the property world too. And the second thing is that the government has said very clearly that as from next April, people will have much more control over their own pensions. And it's no longer going to be necessary to purchase an annuity when you retire. And people will have access to those pensions to be able to control their money themselves. And so both the regulators and the Money Advice Centre, which is the Money Advice Service, is a really important part of the new, you know, guidance, want to see more channels available for providing help and information and guidance to people about looking after their own money. And here we are.
Well, people will say, why do you need a radio station, Gavin? This is not me or the other people listening to this podcast. We love radio. But there will be people, I think, who are wondering why you're not just a web and mobile operation where if people want advice, they can press a button or click and they get it instantly. What makes you think that people will actually listen at great length to a conventional speech radio station?
Well, that's the heart of it, the word listen. And that's what radio is all about. It is a unique medium. And it's especially relevant to finance because, finance is not very visual. It's not like sport where we need to have something on a screen to see what somebody's doing. But it is conveyed very well by the spoken word. Not only that, but it also radio is a very accommodating medium. So it will allow you to, you know, do the washing up, do the cooking, do your driving, get on with, you know, the rest of your day's activity at the same time as you're listening about, you know, handling money and helping you with your finance and so on. So I think it's a very generous sort of medium. And I like it particularly for that reason. And I think it will be extremely welcome.
So you're on air next week, Tuesday. Are you ready?
Yes, that's right. Tuesday the 4th of
November. No radio stations are ever ready, are they, before they go on air?
We will do our very best to be as good as we possibly can be. I'm sure it won't be 100%, but on the other hand, it will get better day by day as we go forwards as well. And so I hope it will work really well. But people mustn't forget to rescan their digital radios on Tuesday the 4th of November, because you won't see it unless you rescan, retune your digital radio. That's really important.
Timely advice. Gavin Oldham, thank you very much indeed for having Radio Today at Share Radio. I must say, I'm extremely impressed by the facilities. Let's go and have some news now, shall we, from Roy Martin. Good luck going.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. Absolute Radio has a new website for its radio stations, and very nice they all look too. It's completely responsive, very, very modern, and doesn't contain any banner ads. It's true. See for yourself on any device right now at absoluteradio.co.uk. TalkSport will be reaching a potential 75 million listeners across the world with its latest deals on international football commentary. The station's content is now heard on stations such as Radio 1 FM in Pakistan and Jambo in Kenya. And finally, UTV's Liverpool station, Juice FM, is to start taking a networked evening show from other UTV stations, along with the Vodafone Big Top 40 from this weekend. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Thank you, Roy. This is the Radio Today programme, and as promised, I've come from a radio station that hasn't even gone on air yet to, I think it's fair to say, a heritage station. I'm at Jazz FM, which I found in the basement of a very attractive building in West One in London. And John Tiarenti is here, who's the chief exec. And Nick Pitts has joined us too. He's the content director. What the hell does that mean, Nick?
It's content director.
Content. That's the sort of program director, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's all the stuff about all the bits and all the bells and whistles, basically.
So Jazz FM. Are you playing jazz these days?
We are.
Because there was a time when you could listen to Jazz FM for ages and you never heard any.
There was a time when we were trying to build on the familiar element of the soul side of jazz. Because jazz encompasses so many different musical genres and, you know, feeds them. George Benson is a jazz guitarist, for example. But it's very easy to go down that route of the soul George Benson. So we've just sort of steered the ship slightly to the left. We've gone into more of a jazz territory while not losing that familiarity with those great jazz stars like George Benson, Stevie Wonder, etc.
Not that anybody's ever cared what I think, but I think Jazz FM is a much more congenial listen than it used to be. And it's also, it's working, Jonty, in a niche. Now, your background in commercial radio, I think, has usually been, pre-Planet Rock, was about making a niche as big as possible and being mainstream. And here you are, for the second time, following Planet Rock, doing something that's deliberately small. Am I reading that properly? Is that the way that commercial radio has moved?
Not really. I don't think you are reading it properly. I think that I've always worked for stations, apart from my time at LBC, where music has been to the fore and has been a specific genre. And they've really all been stations that have specialised in some way. I've owned parts of stations who were standard ILRs, but in terms of running full time and my day job, it's been involved in stations like jazz, where
I suppose
it's about taking their great promise of music and making them into strong commercial entities.
I suppose what I'm saying is that. Maybe I'm wrong again, but let me try this one on you. I think there's a temptation, isn't there, with commercial radio always to say, right, well, we've got that niche sorted. Now let's just broaden it a bit. So if we're a rock station, let's play a bit more Bryan Adams and a bit less Black Sabbath, you know. So we're all moving our niches towards the mainstream. That would seem to be what the accountants would like us to do. Now, is that fair?
It's generally fair. It's not what we're doing.
Exactly
here.
The point I'm making. So you've set your stall out to do the opposite to that, which some people might think is counterintuitive.
Not really. It's about understanding what we are and what we can be. And I think if one takes a station called Jazz FM that predominantly plays jazz, it's about making it very good for the people who like it. It's not about playing a bit of everything for people, so some people like it some of the time. Because the trouble with some of the time is it means that you don't satisfy anybody all of the time.
When you go to advertisers or potential sponsors, are they interested in the quality of your audience rather than simply the numbers?
Well, they're absolutely interested in the quality and the profile. And they're interested in it being a consistent product that they either understand or learn to understand as we take them through it step by step.
So, Nick, when you meet people, I don't know, in the wine bar or in the pub, wherever Jazz FM people hang out, and they say, what do you do? And you say, I work for Jazz FM. How do you describe the music policy to them?
In the past, Jazz FM has been described by three words, listening colour, which is a real heritage brand line, but it doesn't exactly help describe the music of the radio station, and you need to know that. So we've taken on a line that you can use in the pub. Might sound like a bit of a tosser, but we play the world's greatest jazz, blues and soul from the world's greatest artists, and I think that encompasses it nicely. We play great music, we play them in these genres, and we play them from the superstars of that.
So I might hear Miles Davis.
Absolutely.
In daytime.
You might hear Miles Davis in daytime. You might hear Bebel Gilberto or Nat King Cole, Billie Holiday. You might also hear some of the newer superstars. Gregory Porter, massive star at the moment. We've been playing him for 4 years. We picked him up from obscurity, and we have been on the case with Gregory Porter for ages, to the extent now where, you know, whenever he's over, he comes down here, and we had a do round at the local pub and he came and joined us for it. You know, he came and had a few pints with the rest of the staff.
And is there any place on your schedule for, on the one hand, the obscurities, you know, your spontaneous music ensemble, and on the other hand, new jazz artists, because it's a living music. It
is. It's not only, you know, a lot of people say it's music from the past, but it's, if anything, you know, it's got an absolutely amazing industry around it, and I think we're celebrating that more so. There is new music out there all the time, which we put through a playlisting process, as you would expect of a radio station, and we sit down as a committee. And we'll go through the new releases and we'll decide which ones go onto our playlist. And these have to form the future backbone of the radio station as well. And we will take very, you know, melodic pieces, and we will take the not quite so melodic pieces, and we'll judge them on where the radio station is and what we want to gain out of it. But that said, you know, we have at the weekend and in the evening, starting at 6 o'clock in the evening, as early as that, we have some amazing specialist programmes presented by some of these people, you know, who have been doing this sort of thing for years, who are known for that genre of music. So you've got people like Mike Chadwick, who, you know, is known for The Cutting Edge, which is his programme. And, you know, he's known for his Latin music. And you've got Helen Mayhew, Sarah Ward, who do dinner jazz, Peter Young, Jeff Young. You know, we've got so many with David Freeman and blues. So we have a lot of space on our schedule for a great selection of jazz music.
I'm going to jump in, because I think this is about this radio station having real currency today. It's not lip service given to new artists. It's us believing that Jazz FM is a contemporary station. And we play lots of new music and we play lots of heritage music. But it's about the sound of the station, and it's in no way do we think of ourselves in a nostalgic context at all.
So here's the thing. I've just been at Share Radio, which has got very nice studios, not unlike your own, and when they go on air, they will also be on DAB in London, but otherwise online. Mm-hmm. We've been told for a long time that unless you're national, unless you're on FM or at the very least DAB national, you can't make money out of radio. So what's the business plan, Jonty? How do you make Jazz FM work?
Well, Jazz FM came off D1 end of last year. So we've just had our third radar of being on DAB in London and every other platform through the rest of the country. And our audience is roughly 50-50 London and the rest of the country. And we are a national station. We program it as a national station. Our content is driven in that way. Our information is driven that way. And we're seeing our audience step by step grow outside of London and in London. We think that we're in a perfectly good place to carry on growing in that way.
Well, would you like to be on DAB if you could afford it, if Arqiva didn't charge you so much?
Yeah, it's not whether they charge us so much, it's whether it's affordable for this radio station. And would we like to be there? Probably. If you look at our audience at the moment, it's 553,000. And and at the end of last year, it was 681,000. So we're 100,000-150,000 lighter in reach terms. So what cost 100,000-150,000 listeners? Mm.
So people,
and there is an equation to be. There's a very
sure,
simple
yeah.
equation.
So people are finding you on digital television and all those other places.
Yeah, we have a remarkable 40% of our audience listening via internet mobile, according to Radar. I mean, it's a difficult figure to look at in Radar because the number of don't knows fluctuates wildly. But we look at it in a constant way against the people who do know. And we're looking at, between 35 and 40% over the last three Radars are now settling into that place. So we're in a very strong position to grow our audience on new platforms. And that's what's happening out there generally.
So that's what's really exciting about what niche stations like you are doing. In a way, you are redefining what we mean by radio, because you can be a radio station without being conventionally on a national radio platform at all. Because if we can find you, as you said, through mobile devices or digital television or whatever it is, it still sounds like a radio station to us, and consumers are happy.
It is a radio station, and there's a lot of people say, but you are national, but you're not national. And what they're doing is trying to grasp with a sort of old way of distribution. And I go, but if we have a listener, we have a listener. And if they're listening in Birmingham on an app, they're a listener. It's not. Don't worry so much about the distribution. That's our problem. It's not the listener's problem.
So what's the difference, and I'll ask you this, Nick, between Jazz FM and a stream that I might get from Spotify or Last FM or somewhere else, where I just press a button that says kind of nice jazz music.
I'd like some jazz, please.
Yeah, give me some jazz. You know, what's the, from a listener's perspective, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is there's the relationship, which is what you don't get with Spotify and iTunes Radio and all of those. You know, I make it very clear to the presenters here, it's you and a listener, as in it's not a bunch of people in the background, it's not a producer with this bit of paper or whatever, it's you, and it's the listener who's listening to you, because that is your chosen field of music that you love.
And you like having presenters, don't you?
I like having presenters.
Because you could, I suppose... get rid of all of them.
Absolutely.
And say, well, we'll just have a stream and call it Jazz FM, well, and it'd be a lot cheaper.
I am going to jump in.
No, well, this is...
Go on.
I am, because...
Didn't take long.
Because Nick's used to that. We're a real radio station. Mm. We don't have curation via an algorithm. We have curation via people. And we have people listening to our radio station because there are people there. And it doesn't mean that the other ways of doing this are not valid, not useful, and not part of what I'm sure many of our listeners do as well. But it's not what we do. What we do is we play great music, and we have people introducing it and talking about it and making it relevant. And almost any time of day that you tune in, you'll find a real presenter presenting it.
I've never thought of this before, but Al... Algorithm would be a good name for a jazz presenter.
We actually do have somebody called Algorithm working for us.
It's got to be done, really, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So the future is rosy. Where do you go from here? Are you happy with the platforms you're on?
It would be nice to get more platforms. Do you like how I said that?
It was very carefully judged. Yes.
Yeah. We would. One needs to be everywhere, and you can't afford to be everywhere unless you're the BBC.
Jonty, thank you very much indeed. That's Jonty Arendt, who runs the place, and that's Nick Pitts, who makes the tune, helps choose the records. This has been the Radio Today programme at Jazz FM. Let's have some radio moments now with David Lloyd.
100 years of radio.
We start off 10 years ago this week, and we lost this much-loved broadcaster.
It was a small record shop in London that caters to these sort of, you know, collectors of these sort of records. And it's 77 Charing Cross Road, which is the reason it has the name. And they just put out 99 copies of each record they make, because otherwise they would have made 100.
The voice, of course, of John Peel on air in Dallas in his early years. Then he came home to play his own part in the 60s revolution on board the pirate Radio London.
I spent most of the day actually going back and listening to earlier Beatle LPs and sort of listening to them develop while I was sitting there. It flooded over me in the most extraordinary fashion. Beautiful it was too. That, of course, was from Revolver and I'm Only Sleeping. If you're spending a holiday on the Isle of Wight, then you must go along to the Seagull Ballroom this Saturday, the 22nd. And
then for John, the station which became his home for so many years, the new Radio 1.
Get off! I'm sorry, but I am getting a bit fed up with hearing that record, just because it was the first record on the first programme on Radio 1 on Saturday, September the 30th, 1967. I suppose it was picked because it was the highest climber at number 3 that week.
John Peel, who died 10 years ago this week. John was to survive the famous Radio 1 cull, which happened this week in 1993.
Radio 1 has got to be a forward-looking radio station, and if I'm known for anything, it's for taking new ideas forward, taking new talent forward, and I think that's something we can do here. But the most important thing is that we're all agreed, John Burt, Liz Forg and myself, we're all agreed that Radio 1 will be the foremost popular music radio station for the UK.
Matthew Bannister explaining the changes at Radio 1. 21 years ago, which saw the exit of the old guard and maybe the foundation of today's more credible Radio 1. Matthew was also part of the BBC local station which replaced BBC London this week in 88.
GLR 1458 AM on 94.9 FM and 1458 AM. This is a test transmission for Greater London Radio. Programmes begin at 6.30 on Tuesday morning, the 25th of October, with the fastest news and travel, the best music, the best names and the best sound on London's first new station for 15...
GLR launching this week, 26 years ago. That same year, Jack DiManio died. He'd hosted the Today programme from 1958 to 1971.
John will be here at this time tomorrow night to tell you a little about what we've got in mind for you for Wednesday morning. But from the Today studio at just about 15 minutes... I can't read your writing. I've got a chap writing it out for me here, the silly fool, and I can't read his writing. Well, it's 16 minutes to... and a half.
Jack DiManio, who died this week in 88. And whilst we're on time checks, the clocks changing is a challenge for most stations as they make sure their playout systems recognise just what's happened. This week last year, Radio 2 didn't quite manage to sort it out, and Bob Harris was played out twice at the same time.
Find out. And I remember more taking about it home on their it on website, which is bigbigtrain.com. And that track followed...
Gone quiet, hasn't it? Well, needless to say, it shouldn't really be this quiet. I can assure you we're trying to sort things out at this end, and just as soon as we can, we'll return to our normal schedule here on BBC Radio 2.
That lovely famous Radio 2 emergency tape this week last year. Roger Scott was one of the early commercial radio voices. We lost him 25 years ago this week.
Everybody goes through that. You want to sound like Steve Wright. You want to sound like Simon Bates. You want to sound like Kenny Everett, you want to sound like Roger Scott, you want to sound like Tony Blackburn. Everybody goes through all that when you want to be a jock, but the secret is to go through that and come out of it at the other end, having discovered yourself and discovered that you are this unique person and you don't have to sound like anybody else. You can just be yourself. You don't have to hide behind some other identity that you're stealing.
7 minutes past four. Came in this morning, sat down, opened my letters. First thing I do in the mornings, love getting letters. I bet a lot of people think I don't actually read them. You think I've got teams of secretaries opening them all. But I actually really do enjoy reading.
Farewell, Roger Scott, this week in 89, aged just 46. One of the most famous early Capital voices.
Orwell 257.
Radio Orwell was the smallest station in the very first tranche of commercial stations. It launched in Ipswich this week, 39 years ago.
It's 6 o'clock on Tuesday, October the 28th, 1975. For the first time, welcome to Radio Orwell.
That was John Jacob, chairman of Radio Orwell, and I'm Donald Brooks. You won't hear either of us or that magnificent version of the National Anthem too often at 6 in the morning.
I wonder how often that was actually heard. Happy birthday to Radio Orwell, later SGR and now Heart. 1981 now had another commercial radio launch this week.
We got a good thing going.
I'd like to introduce you to the people who are going to be serving you and entertaining you here on Radio West. And first of all, in the morning, it's Nino.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, it's me, Nino, and you can join me every weekday morning on Radio West from 6 o'clock until 9.30. Now, there's lots of silly competitions, morning teasers, crosswords, as well as what's-ons, marine reports, all that, plus up-to-the-minute traffic reports, local and national news, and the very best in music.
thank you, Nino. Happy 33rd birthday, Radio West in Bristol, later to merge with Wiltshire Radio to become the foundation stone for the mighty GWR. Finally, one more celebration. This week, 57 years ago, saw the birth of the UK's most influential radio programme.
Do you often go to see your own plays? How often have you seen The Mousetrap?
Oh, about 40 or 50 times, I think.
Do you ever find that you forget the plot? Wonder who did it?
No, I can't say that.
What's your recipe for a successful thriller?
I wouldn't know.
He wasn't having much luck with it, was he? Today, reporter Aidan McDermott in a 1963 interview with Agatha Christie for the Today programme, which launched this week in 1957 with Alan Skempton introducing what were called topical talks. So, with BBC Oxford launching 44 years ago...
I believe I shall become the first Lord Mayor
to usurp the role of a disc jockey.
Global Radio taking control of GCAP Media 6 years ago, and the frighteningly realistic War of the Worlds aired on the Columbia Network this week 76 years ago.
We are bringing you an eyewitness account of what's happening on the Wilmoth Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd, and thanks for the hospitality earlier to Share Radio and to Jazz FM. Next week on the Radio Today programme, we'll be meeting Stephanie Hurst and finding out what her plans are for her broadcasting future. So do try and join me for that. I've been Trevor Dan. This has been a TDC production, and we're grateful to you for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.